Join with me to in 1 Peter chapter 3, reading from verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 3, reading from verse 1. Wives, likewise be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. When they observe your chaste conduct, accompanied by fear, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging their hair and wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. Husbands, likewise dwell with them with understanding, giving honour to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Amen. We're going to turn now to our next hymn. Is it Blessed Be? No? By Faith. Okay. Do you want to, are you playing this through first?
Yes.
This afternoon we're looking at a passage of scripture that is quite sensitive and I suppose could be controversial, and particularly from the standpoint of wives, from the standpoint of those feminists, it's how dare the Apostle Paul say such things. And his friend Peter is saying things as well. And you think to yourself, you know, and you could become a bit sensitive even as a pastor. You think there are passages, shall we skip over this? You know, you can imagine some lady saying, who is he to tell me that I am to behave in such a way? And you see, as we've just sung there, by faith. And there's so much as we read the scriptures that whoever we are and who God has created us, it is a walk of faith. And there are times when God leads us into situations that we may not want to be. And it's difficult and it's hard. And the human tongue sometimes cannot describe the way we feel. The loneliness and the heaviness of heart. And yet still, God calls us to be the people we are for the sake of the gospel and his glory. I want you to glorify me in the most difficult of circumstances, and I will carry you through. But in a sense, we have a very easy gospel these days, don't we? And I'm guilty of it as well. When was the last time I sat down with a brother and sister and said to them that God has taken you here to grow you and to mature you and to bring you on? It's not easy, is it? When someone is going through the mill, and to remind them of these truths. And so we come to this passage. The Apostle Peter there in chapter 1 has shown that the scattered church, a wonder of their position. Such a glorious position as the children of God. And then chapter 2 onward he begins to say, look, now I've told you this, this is how you should live. And there will be something that I will share with you that will be hard to swallow. And you might not be keen on it. But if you want the gospel to go forward, if you want the glory of Christ to be seen in your life, there is a certain way to behave. And we looked last week, didn't we, at servants and how in terrible, terrible situations they endeavour to live for Christ. And no accident, this last Wednesday we were at Thursday listening to that film by Count Zinzendorf, and well, one of the pictures that stands out is you've got these slaves and they tried to react and act some of the things that went on, and there were some of these slaves that came to see I forget the name of the poem, Matthias, I think maybe, I can't remember the name, but they came to see this white man that had come from across the seas to tell them about this Jesus who was the answer to their difficulties, that would bring them freedom. And it was the scene where he had been ill and he'd come round and they'd come to gather around him, and this one slave said, I have come to Jesus and asked him to forgive me for my unforgiveness. This slave whose back had been torn to shreds, this slave who had no rights, this slave who lost everything, every bit of freedom. And yet when God opened his eyes, he's asking God to forgive him for his hateful thoughts towards his captors. That's the power of the gospel, isn't it? And so Peter comes here in chapter 3, and what you've got to realize, keep reminding yourself, that the church is in a very difficult place where It's a world full of broken homes. It's a world full of incest. It's a world full of such difficulties and temptations. And God is saying, listen, the church should bring order to society. The church is light and salt to society. We remind the world that particularly marriage is a reminder to the world of Christ and the church. And so he says, wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands. And even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. And verse 7, husbands likewise dwell with them with understanding, giving honour to the wife. Now at the centre of, I believe, many of the problems of society, the things that society faces today, and in all generations, is the sanctity and stability of marriage. When homes are stable, when society has homes that live according to the law of God, brings stability to the whole of the nation. It has a massive impact. The home has a massive impact on the economic and social needs of every nation. And so the Apostle Peter, led by God, the Holy Spirit, believes it necessary to bring to the attention of the scattered churches the two who have become one flesh, and to remind them of their importance in society, the husband and the wife. And the one subject which seems to stick in the throat, as I've said, of so many, is the subject of submission. No one likes to submit. You remember in the playground, maybe it's gone after my time, but we used to have a game where you pile on and you no one would get off this pile until someone submitted. And you get, there you are in the playground and your head is against this tarmac and, no, I will not submit, I will not submit, I will not say I surrender. From an early age, we don't want to give in. I remember Sam, he got the wrong end of the stick. He thought saying thank you meant to give something back. And for a long time, until about the age of 25, you know, and he was about, I don't know what, I can't remember the age, was it one or two or something, and we were trying to keep it. And I say, Carl, say thank you. And he would not say thank you. No matter how he tried, he was not going to say it, because in his little mind, he thought he was going to have to relinquish it. He was going to have to give it back. And at that young age, there was a stubbornness of heart. If I say thank you, you'll take it off me. Never has there been a time when we could get our hands on so much information about sex and marriage, yet we have more marital problems and divorces than ever before. Only for the fact that we have more people on the planet than ever before. But I think at the time of Peter, there were problems. Women were treated like the dirt on the bottom of your shoe. And children, even worse. They were treated in a terrible way. And Peter to say this was a real difficult thing. These women have been converted, and they have this freedom in Christ. And Peter comes along and says, listen, I want you to be submissive to your husbands. And he's specifically talking about those that are non-Christians. You see, when we talk about marital problems, we're not just talking about marital problems in the world, are we? Every one of us in this room, I'm sure if I sat down and talked to you, every one of us in this room knows someone or has been affected by the trauma of marriage breakup or infidelity within marriages. It's almost a mass industry. I remember sitting in a home where I was taking a funeral, and I was trying to take notes of the mother, and the woman over here had been married to the man over here, and he's now married to his wife that's over here. I'm just thinking, I can't get my head around this. Maybe I'm different, but I would really struggle if another man looked at my wife. And you protect your marriage with all the power that you have, but the world seems to matter, and it's happening in the church as well. And Peter says, "Listen, this is not what it's about. You to love your husband and you to honour your wife. The fact that the husband and the wife are Christians is no guarantee, as I said, that their marriage will succeed. Marriage is something that we have to work at. Success is not automatic. I'm sure if you sat down with my wife and said to her, was Martin's brilliance at being a husband automatic? Did you ever have to sit with him and share with him his clumsiness of not being able to listen and understand the mind of a woman? Did it come naturally? Well, I'm naturally that I don't understand. But you sit down and you work at it. And you do get things wrong, and sometimes there are the disputes that go on, not because you don't love each other, but you just don't get it. And as we said in the vestry earlier on, that there comes a time when you have to say what's on your mind so that the two of you can come to that place where you understand where each of you are coming from. And then you go from there. Because you see, the glory of God is at stake, and we have the honour of Christ. And we are showing the world that we are different. And so, Peter addresses a part of marriage. Many of these women have heard the gospel, maybe they've heard that the women through the washing, maybe, or maybe there were some very wealthy women who were high up in finance, and they had heard, and they'd come into the glorious news of the gospel, and they'd come home, and there they are, not necessarily a drunken man or a man who's wild, but a man with no time for these things, an intellectual maybe, or an agnostic, or a man who's taken up with the gods of the Romans, and they've come home, and Peter said, "Listen, you are to show that man if he's happy to stay with you." Because Paul talks about this in Corinthians, doesn't he? There may come a time where you will be married to a man or a woman, and your marriage partner will say to you, "I don't want you. I cannot cope with the gospel." But if they don't say that, Peter says, "Listen, there is a way to live. There is a way to behave." Peter is addressing the matter of wives who are married, as I said, to husbands who are not saved, and showing how they might lead them to Christ. And don't forget the husbands, he says there in verse 7 onwards, and he warns the Christian husbands of their responsibility towards their wives. But we always have a button that we've all said, "Oh, no, I think this is a little bit too hard, a bit too straight." But you see, the apostle, he's very wise with his words. He says there in verse 1, "Wives likewise," and then in verse 7, "Husbands likewise." Likewise. or the same as? Who is he talking about? Well, if you look back with me to the previous verses of chapter 2 there in verse 21, we have a clear example there. He says, "For to this you were called, because Christ..." So we've got to come back to Christ. That's what the Bible's all about. "Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he was suffered, he did not threaten, nor, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died for sins, might live for righteousness. By whose stripes you were healed, for you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your soul." Wives, husbands, like the Lord Jesus, as he submitted himself to the cross, as he submitted himself to the work of the gospel, so that you might have life. He said, "You wives, submit yourself to your husbands, so that in due course they may turn and call upon your name." I remember speaking to a wife once. He married this man thinking that he was saved, and he won't be saved. And the years went on, and he'd become ill. And she decided in her heart that she would speak to him. And she went to speak to him, and with a smile on his face, he said, "I understand. You've come to know the Lord. Years of consistent living for Christ. Doesn't always happen, I know. God, what a thrill it is when it does." You know, you hear of testimony, you hear of women sometimes that browbeat their husbands. They almost bully their husbands into the kingdom. Peter's not saying, "Don't do that. You're not to be like that. You're to be chaste in your conduct. There's got to be an inner beauty that just comes out of you." He talks about not having your hair braided and being adorned, this outward appearance. He's not saying you can't have makeup and you can't look beautiful. He's not saying that. He's saying, listen, make sure you're not a hypocrite. Make sure it's real. Make sure that it comes from the very depth of your being. And every action, everything you do in that home, it's the glory of Christ, and to win your husband for the Lord. "For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps." So as a Christian wife and a husband should follow his example, they should walk as these submissive beings. But the problem is, and as I say this all the time, we just live in a society, don't we, where it's all about all the treats that I can have. It's all about the pleasures that I can have, about the programs I can watch. You know, we've got a Sky package at the moment, just happened to be the cheapest one. And I have texts through on my phone all the time saying, "There's this lot of programs, you can watch the lot. You must watch them. They're important for you to watch." And you're thinking, why? For me to be entertained. For me to be lulled into this like a succubus that comes and lulls you into a sense of complacency and harmony when all those are falling into hell and the lost are around you, but you don't care because you're taken up with your own thrills. And Peter said, no, you've got to take stock of yourself, and you've got to ask yourself, how are you behaving? And as Christian women, are you a helpmeet to your husband? Even those of you who are married and you've got husbands that love the Lord, how do you make it so that they live godly, honourable lives? Imitation, example, watching is a massive part of growing up, isn't it? And some of us, let's be honest, we become dysfunctional, don't we, because of our miserable fathers and our miserable mothers and our selfish homes. I've been in homes where they just think of normal themselves. And you just think, I don't get this. I grew up in a home where Christ was always put first. And there was an dashing to the table. We'd sit and I'm not saying it was hard, heavy work, and my father used to have a 12-point sermon before we sat down for a meal. That sort of thing never happened. But it was just a happy environment where my mother was loved. And my mother just, a bit too tough, but she loved him to bits. And you have this good example. Well, that's not the example. I'm sure if I went round the room, some of you would tell me that I have a terrible example. I know young men that are frightened to death that they'll be like their fathers. There are young women that are frightened to death that they'll be like their mothers. You still have to be frightened to death. Come to the Word. Come to the Word and allow the Word to change you, that you will be what you should be. It can so be so easy to set a young child on the road to destruction. And we need to be good role models, aren't we? Massively important. Christian parents, husbands, wives. We ask you, we're our role models. That doesn't matter in a sense. We have to take stock and say, we're going to be good role models. We're going to make sure that those who watch on will see the way that a child of God behaves. We're immersed, aren't we, into a society of hedonism. If you don't know what hedonism means, it's just total and utter selfish desire. Fill myself with all that surrounds me, and it doesn't matter about anybody else as long as I get fed. How can I get my fill of happiness? Well, that's not the way of the cross, is it? The way of the cross is, Lord, how would you have me live that I might glorify your name? What did Jesus say about the treasures of this earth and this hedonism? He says, moth and rust destroy them. But he says, you can lay up yourself all the pleasures of this earth. And you have to. I'm a practical man. And when I was called into the ministry, I struggled. And I don't want to be in books all the time. I don't want to be up the front all the time. I'd rather be fixing the chairs. I'd rather be on the roof, sorting the roof. I'd rather be in the boiler house, sorting the boiler room out. God said, no, that's not what I've called you to. You've got to take up this cross and you've got to do what I've called you to do. And he said, oh, what is it? Just because you've got a gift doesn't mean to say God will call you to that place. He will humble you, and he humbles me and says, I will take you to the place where you almost don't fit. I take the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. He said, don't take up these things. You give yourself to me and I will use you for my glory. You reread there in Hebrews 11, don't you, verse 25. Moses could have had his fill of all that life has to offer, all kinds of pleasure. But he knew it was only for a season. It wasn't for long. But we live, especially when you're young. When you're young, I still think I'm young, but when you're dead young, you just think you've got so much ahead of you. And you just need, and that thing will be everything. And it's just not. Nothing lasts. It's just for a short season. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, or the ESV says, or fleeting pleasures of sin. To allow ourselves to be influenced by the world, by the soaps, by the film, by the media. I'm not saying you can't watch some programs, but you have to be careful. You have to ask yourself, what is influencing my life? What is taking me off the road slightly? What is distracting me? You know, you see, someone nearly hit me yesterday. A woman was on her phone, and I was in the right lane, and she pulled across, and because she was distracted. And it doesn't take much to distract us in the Christian walk. That's why we need to be in the Word. That's why we need to be having fellowship. And say you're struggling in your marriage, there needs to be someone in the church you can go to. You should have someone that you know that will not gossip, that will not tell you exactly what you want to hear, but maybe say to you, young man, the problem is you spend too much time on the golf course. You spend too much time tinkering with that car. No wonder your wife feels so depressed. No wonder she feels nobody cares. Young woman, I know the world says that there's a different way, but do you make the home such a place that your husband wants to open that door? Do you make it such a place that he walks in and it's just a delight to be there? That he just can't wait to embrace you? Yes, but. The older woman said, no, yes, but. Are you the woman you should be? Are you the helpmeet that you should be? Nor easy is it being what God has called us to be. We need good examples. Peter also takes examples from the Bible for wives to follow. He talks about Abraham's wife Sarah, and when you read the account of Sarah, you say, I think Sarah could have been an awkward woman. I think Sarah could have been a difficult woman. You know, you just imagine, she has met the living God, and she laughs. She laughs that God could put within her womb at this old age a child. She laughs. Who laughs at God? But a character, own character. And yet, nevertheless, she calls Abraham Lord. I don't think that was an easy thing. I don't think that was a thing that I don't think she was the sort of woman that would have had anything lorded over her. You see, she submitted herself to Abraham, and she became a helpmeet to him. Not perfect, but proved to be a good helpmeet. One of the few women that were mentioned in Hebrews 11. It is only when we have submitted first at salvation can we grasp the reality of submitting in life. As husbands, we will never honour our wives if we don't give honour to God. If we have not first gone the way of the cross, if we have not first trusted in Christ, we'll never honour them as we should. As wives, we will never be able to submit and to show that love and that tenderness as we should if we have not first gone the way of salvation. And not only that, that we read there in Luke's Gospel, don't we, that verse that tells us that we need to be faithful in little. If we don't grasp the foundation of salvation, we will never be what we should be. As a Christian couple, there should be an openness, and as we share with one another God's word in prayer, there should be a desire to be everything that we should be. And so, husbands, you need to battle for that time
where you're allowing the Word of God to teach you. Young men,
you may not get married. It may be your gifting of God to be single. Young women, that may be your case. But when we start out as young Christians, we need to make it our habit to allow God to grow us through the Word, so that we will be good. If God was to bring us to that person who is right for us, that we would be good husbands and good wives. But as those who have never been married, that we would be good examples to the young people anyway, because we're allowing the Word of God to change us and to shape us. Twice in the passage before us, Peter reminds the Christian wives to submit to their husbands. Paul reminds them in Ephesians 5 verse 21, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. He talks about the fact that the husbands are the head of the home and we should submit to them as Christ, as the husband submits to Christ. But we need to remember something, and the Bible is very clear, that the woman isn't inferior. She's not inferior. What crass person has ever intimated that the church teaches her doesn't know the scriptures? You are not inferior. And don't ever let your husbands feel that you are inferior. Because Peter goes on to say, doesn't he? He says there in verse 7, he says, husbands, likewise, dwell with your wives with understanding, giving honour to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. You are heirs. You are heirs. One is not more equal than the other. We read there in Galatians 3 verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. There is order in marriage, but there is not inferiority. We go together as equals. We don't go together as that unit. It reminds us of Christ and the church. I just don't understand that. But God has taken us, and we are one with Him. It gives the Christian wife an inroad into the non-Christian husband's heart. We're not talking about manipulation or sneakiness, rather, as we submit to Christ, God will bless if that one is willing to listen. And husbands, you honour your wife even though she's not what she should be, because God will bless as we bring God's word in out of our lives, in the way we live, not in what we say and do. If Peter is saying, listen, and I'll finish with this, don't be hypocrites. If the reality of Christ is within you, let it come forth. The bad thing is, it doesn't always happen that way. Some will choose to walk away, as we read there in Corinthians. But the glory of it is this, is that we have lived as Christ has asked us to live. And one day we will get a crown. They may not, but one day we will get a crown. And we will be able to sing as the hymn writer wrote, it will be worth it all when we seek Jesus. And this is our prayer this afternoon, that we will be everything, but we will submit to God and be all that we should be for the glory of His name. Father in heaven, we pray now that as we come to depart, as we sing our last hymn, that you will stir our hearts, and that, Lord, it's not always easy to be honourable when you're frustrated and when you're all kinds of issues, and men can so easily hide in the garden shed and bury their head in the sand. Or for women to be submissive to some husbands. So, oh Lord, we pray that you would always give us the grace. And oh Father, that we would be all that we should be. Now even all the more as your children, Christian heart, that we would be examples to those who watch on. We're going to close by seeing God of grace, amazing wonder, irresistible. God of grace, amazing wonder, irresistible and great, all the miracle of mercy, Jesus reaches out to me. God of grace, I stand in wonder, as my God restores my soul. That indeed that we will stay on that path, that we would hold on to that scroll, that we would hold on to the word of God in our hand, and that we would keep our eyes set on the celestial city. Oh Lord, keep us from distractions, keep our marriages safe, keep us pure as young men and young women. But Lord, that you would keep us for that day when we will be ready, if it so be, to meet the right one. So Lord, we pray that you'd encourage our hearts and thrill our hearts as we think upon the things of Christ day by day. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.